All right. Well, it is good to be here. I do love your pastor, and I appreciate your church. I really do. Brother Robert, you and your family have been knowing them also for years, the Fleming family. Take your Bible, turn to the book of Nehemiah, but let me just make one quick statement. In fact, I'm going to ask a question since some of you are my age and maybe older. How many of y'all remember the book that Jack Hiles wrote, Let's Go Soul Winning? Anybody remember that book? That was actually, I got saved. I really had a desire to witness, but didn't know how, and I got hold of that book. It was a great help to me. But the Lord has helped me to write a book, Someone to Guide Them. And it's that same nature. It's a book kind of from A to Z to teach a new generation of soul winners how to reach people for Christ. So that's just come out. Please pray the Lord would use that. Let me just tell you, can I just go ahead and be plain and honest about this? I can't think of our greatest failure in this time is we really have kind of let down on this business of soul winning. I believe in the autonomous church, but part of that is we propagate ourselves. It's our job to bring others in. Otherwise, where are we going to be 10 years from now? Amen? And so, I challenge you with that, but do pray the Lord will use that book. He graciously, I try to tell people I don't call myself an author. I rather refer to myself as a preacher who writes. Appreciate that. But if you don't mind standing with us once again, I'm going to preach from the book of Nehemiah. We was over there in Esther today, and I enjoyed that Sunday school class. But I want to look at the book of Nehemiah two places, actually starting off in chapter number 1, beginning verse 1 through 4, and then we'll turn to chapter 2 and read a few verses. The Bible says the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hayaliah, and it came to pass in the months of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came. He and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity, there in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven. Now turn with me to chapter number 2, and I want to read beginning at verse 12 to verse 18. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. And I went to the gate of the fountain, and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. And I went up in the night by the brook, viewed the wall, and turned back, and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whether I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress we're in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come and let us build up the walls of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of God which was good upon me. Amen. As also the king's word that he spoke unto me, has spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Let's pray. Father, it's good to be in the house of God. We thank you for Gilead Baptist Church. We thank you especially for Brother Holmes, Lord, just a good man of God, a great preacher. And Father, I pray for him this morning as he's preaching. Lord, what we preachers need, all of us need, is the hand of God upon us, Father, as we preach. We can preach to the ears, but only God of heaven can preach to the hearts of men. Father, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, I pray especially for that one. that, Lord, as this service comes to the close, an invitation is given. They'll come to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I also pray for the saints of God. Father, you know exactly what you'd have each of us to do. And Lord, I had to confess, Lord, we live in a day and time when all of us enjoy preaching. And Lord, I'm glad we do, but if we're not careful, Lord, we'll enjoy the preaching, but Lord, not respond the way you'd have us to respond. Father, may each of us ask as we've gathered here, what is it the Lord is saying to me personally, through the message? And may I respond and do the work and the will of God. In Jesus' precious name we humbly pray. Amen. You may be seated. What important text that I read to you this morning, text that tell us about this man called Nehemiah. In fact, he's described as the king's cupbearer. He's really just an ordinary man, just like you and just like me. He's just an ordinary person. But he is a man that's used of God in an extraordinary way, used to lead the people of God of that day to reveal the walls of Jerusalem that it might not be anymore a reproach. When I read this sad report that Nehemiah heard, I think of the condition of America in our day. The walls that has made America great have been broken down. And all across the world, our nation is in great reproach. So I want to preach to you just a few minutes this morning on this subject. Let us rise up and build. In our day, there are three walls we desperately need to rise up and rebuild so that America can be great again. The first wall we desperately need to rise up and rebuild so that America can be great is what I call the wall of the Christian faith. In fact, you will find Jesus talking about this if you'll turn with me to John chapter number 3 right quickly. John chapter number 3. And we find our Lord speaking. And He says, over in the book of John, let me flip right over to the book of John, chapter 3. He says these words, verse number 3. Jesus announced and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Moreover not, I have said unto thee, ye must be born again. What an important wall of which Jesus spoke in this text. It's the wall of Christian faith, and it is really a wall that's made America great. Now, you can listen to folks if you want to in our day and time, and they might try to tell you that America really hasn't been the Christian nation. That's not our heritage, but they just don't know the truth. Amen? I take out a dollar out of my pocket, and I read on that dollar, in God we trust. Why, you can go to the Supreme Court seeing written on public buildings. You see written verses of the Word of God. I know as I was a boy coming up, you go in any courthouse in the South, around South Georgia anyway, where I'm from, you go in there, you go see two things. Of course, one was a spittoon. I mean, that's one of the things you saw. The second thing that was always there was the Ten Commandments. America, the wall that has made us great is a wall of the Christian faith. In fact, there are actually two things that are absolutely essential if we build this wall. And we must build this wall if America is to be great again. Boy, how we need revival. Amen? And how God is able to send revival, I believe, even our day and time. But I see the first thing that's absolutely essential to build the wall of Christian faith. And it is a conversion from above. You must be born again. One of the sad truths is all across America, we have really become an unchristian nation. I mean, we really have. We've reached a place where about 80% of Americans are unchurched. But all across America, in our country, and in our communities, even within our churches, there are people that have never been born again. There are many people across America that are religious, but they're lost. Chris, when I got saved, I think about what you just said. When I got saved, I've been in church all my life, like you. All I've ever known is the Bible, the Word of God, and church. But I was age 24. I was teaching a Sunday school class. I was singing in the choir. I was attending all the services. I was giving, I would like to say tithe, but I was giving an offering. I wasn't tithing then. But I was giving. I was praying. I've always prayed. But I was just simply religious. I remember my preacher, Brother Robert, looked out there. He'd step on this side, look out across me with this gentleman sitting back here. And he'd look at me and he'd say, "You must be born again." Well, praise God, I got born again. And just because you may be a Sunday school teacher, choir member, or whatever you are, and may have attended church for years, doesn't mean that you've been saved. You must be born again from above. In fact, the one thing that you need to make absolutely sure of, if we could get all the folks and members of our churches saved, you'd have revival. Amen. I mean, you would, across the marker. The one thing you want to be absolutely sure is that you have had a conversion from above, that you have been born again. By the way, if you've been born again, I remember Lewis Kitchens, and some of you may know him, Brother Robert. Brother Lewis used to describe himself as the oldest Campbell of the community. He just loved to get drunk. He really did. And he got saved at our church, and he got gloriously born again. And he said, "Brother Bethel, I don't understand how people can be saved and not know it." If you've been born again, you're certainly going to know it. I mean, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. So the first thing to build this wall of the Christian faith is you've got to have a conversion from above. But the second thing, you need a commitment that, down below. If we're going to rebuild this wall, the prosperity of our day, and we are a prosperous nation, but it has caused many, many, many within our churches to commit themselves to building bigger barns. Their energy is to prosper. And then when they get this, they want more, and it just seems to be the American way. But I want to say to you, that's the wrong commitment. God blesses you good. But see, many people are going to hear in that day, "Thy food, this night is thy soul required of thee." And then whose will these things be? So you want to make sure you've got your commitment. If you are prosperous, praise the Lord for you. But your commitment ought to be prior to one to serve the Lord. Amen. Second thing that I've noticed, many people, in fact, it's a real problem. Many people, we talk about commitment, many people have allowed the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches to cause them to be unfruitful. Let me give you a little example, if I may. I'm going to step down here, but I have to watch. I don't want to fall down here. Amen. He talked about falling this morning, got me all shook up. Amen. Because I could do that coming off that podium. But, I'm telling you, we've got to have this commitment, and yet that is a problem. We've got to be fruitful. Fruitful in our certainly the fruits of the Spirit, but because of us, there ought to be other people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me say this. I was at a funeral yesterday and preached for Robert Cobb's funeral. And I was amazed at the amount of people that his life. In fact, the horse mortuary was so filled, his life impacted so many people, there's about 50 people standing. And I was glad. But I thought, oh God, I wish we could impact that many lives. Years ago, I was a member of Twin Oaks Baptist Church, and there was a deacon in the church, never had been soul winning. Well, I picked up that book by Jack Hyde, started going out soul winning. The Lord let us win a few people, Brother Robert. But I asked the deacon, I said, "You ever been soul winning?" "No." I said, he said, "I won't know what to say." I said, "Don't worry about what to say. I'll do the talking." We went up there to see this old boy, and when I got in there, I was talking to him, and they had miscarried a couple of children. They'd had a little boy. And I went in to see him. Junior was his first name. I was trying to think of his last name, but Junior. And I went in there talking to Junior, and I said, "Well, Junior, let me ask you a question. Now they had a little boy about 2 years old this time. They finally had one. I said, Junior, if you die tonight, you know to go to heaven?" He said, "No, sir, I don't." And he began to weep. "But I got this little boy now. And I sure do want to know." I said, "Would you let me take the Bible and show you?" And I took the Bible and guided him through the Scriptures. And that young man got on his knees. "Oh, God, I'm a sinner. And oh, God, I'm going to hell. Lord, please forgive me. Please save me." He got gloriously saved that night. Then his wife got on her knees and asked the Lord to save her. Well, Junior didn't know no better. We hadn't thrown any Baptist cold water on him yet, amen. And he was so excited over the next year. That one man brought over 60 people into that church. Oh, God help us to be fruitful. So, the second thing, number one, you got to be sure about your conversion. But another thing, if every one of us had that kind of commitment, wouldn't it be wonderful? God help us to impact the lives of people around us. Let us rise up and build the Christian faith, because Christianity is broken down and our nation is in great reproach. Well, there's a second wall we desperately need to rebuild that America might be great again, and that's the wall of the family. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 19. I love Matthew chapter 19, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And I want to start reading at verse number 3. We talk about the wall of the family. And here we find Jesus talking. But first we start. The Bible said the Pharisees, verse number 3, also came to him, tempted him, and said unto him, "Is it lawful for man to put away his wife for every cause?" And he answered and said unto them, I like the way he did this, "Have you not read?" Amen. Pharisee, they should have. "That he which made them at the beginning, made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." They say unto him, "Then why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorce when put her away?" And he said unto them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except that it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committed to adultery. And whoever commariteth, which is put away, doth commit adultery." What an important wall the Lord is speaking. He's talking about the wall of the family. And I'm going to tell you what will build your church and what builds a nation is the family. I mean, Brother Rod, I'm going to explain. I'm talking about a man and a woman, okay? And children is what I'm talking about. And God has used... Any of y'all ever seen Leave It to Beaver? How that mom and the dad, you know, they man, and then the children, even though the Beaver's a little rambunctious, did you notice how polite everybody is? Or if I take you back a little older than that, Father Knows Best. I don't know if that'd go today or not, but it sure did. But you know, there are two things, and the family's made America great, but there's two things about the wall of the family. The first thing I know about it is that marriage is a divine institution. It's not made up by law. It's not made up of man. In fact, what an answer Jesus gave when these Pharisees came to him. And what he simply says, he says, marriage and the family was instituted by God. In the beginning, God created male and female. Instituted by God. And then, of course, the Bible says that cause, and Jesus said, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. I've had the privilege of being married 51 years. 51 years. My wife is my best friend. People ask me, what's the secret? I married my best friend. Amen. And I will go ahead and add this while I'm there. I made a commitment, and she did too. When we got married, we made a commitment to each other, for better or worse. And a lot of times I was worse. She seemed always better. But anyway, I was worse. Brother Robert, you and I both, our wives are our better halves. Our better three-fourths, my best is to say. But over the years, and right now, I tell you, my best friend is my wife. And that's important in a marriage. And God ordained marriage. And I made a vow. She made a vow. And we had a commitment. And when things got rough, we stayed with our commitment. Was it always easy? No. I always loved her. But there were times I did not like her. And vice versa with her. And if you've been married long, you know what I'm saying. Well, here, man, male and female. And I like this phrase, have you not read? And actually, the Bible's our instruction book. And I want to ask you, have you not read that this man God created, this man God made, that he's the husband of the home? He has a biblical role. I know I used to think that one of the great problems of America is the home breaking up, but I found out the homes in the churches that were not operating by the biblical, what the Bible says to do, is also have problems. So, man's role, number one, fellas, I kind of preach to you. Your number one role to be the spiritual leader in your home. You ought to be as much the spiritual leader as your home as your pastor is in your church. By the way, I tell you like one deacon told me one time, I was just a young fellow, happened to call a priest, and we were standing behind the pulpit. He said, you know, I live just as good as our pastor. And I thought lightning was going to strike him, you know. I thought it was a blasphemous thing, but... But he explained it. He said, our pastor has the same Bible to live by I do. I'm required to do the same thing. And one of the great, I tell you, Brother Robert, I believe this, if across America the men would become the spiritual leaders, they ought to be. Revival would break out. Men, that's our greatest responsibility. Now, I'm still old-fashioned enough to believe we men, I know some of you ladies have to work in our society, but we men, that's our responsibility. I believe in the old-fashioned work ethic. Amen. And I believe that's our responsibility. Now, and also I believe us men ought to protect our family. We ought to do whatever necessary. Take care of our family. Bible said, husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Be willing to die for your family. Maybe I should say, if you're going to be a spiritual leader, you're going to have to die to yourself a little bit. Amen? So number one. By the way, let me go ahead and say this. Spiritual leader don't need master and slave. You won't be married 51 years if you got that opinion. It really means you lead. They get to choose to follow or not. I remember, Brother Robert, I can tell you who it was, but I won't. I was preaching on the home. A young man walked down the aisle. He was weeping. And I preached on a man being the head of the home and the leader. And he said, I want to be the leader of my home. My wife won't let me. Well, listen, fellas, that's simply what say, they may not follow you, but that doesn't lessen your responsibility. You think everybody follows your pastor? He's a spiritual leader of this church. So number one, for the man, the woman that God created is to be the wife of that home, the mother of that home. And ladies, honestly, your number one responsibility is to be a helpmeet to the man. And most of you ladies agree, most of your husband needs all the help they can get. Amen. But that ought to be your highest priority, a mate to your husband. And if you will have the right relationship, that'll help your children more than anything you'll do. The man sets a good example for those young men how to be spiritual leaders. And why should you do something that gets harder than what men do? You show respect to his authority, and it teaches them authority for you. If you're not going to respect him and you're going to tell him, you're just the stupidest man I've ever seen, then when your children rebel against your authority, don't be surprised. So here we've got the wife, and she's to be a helpmeet to husband. She has been given the ability to have children. That's something we men can't do. And to care for these children, and she's been given a skill we men aren't, most of us men aren't good at.
She can make a home. She's to be a keeper of the home, and she takes what for us, Brother Rob, would be a house and makes it a home. And she looks well to the ways of house. We work like a team. We want to almost act like an I church. You know, we got a football team. I like the University of Georgia. I don't watch a lot of football. But I do know you know, everybody can't be the quarterback. It takes a team. And when a man operates in his role and a woman in her role, that's teamwork. I'm glad Miss Fleming can play the piano. Wouldn't it be terrible though if everybody could play the piano and they all wanted to play? We need different people, and God's organized the family that way. So here we have the man, then we have the wife who's the woman who's the wife, then we have the children. And children have two instructions. Now, number one, they're in training to be husbands and wives, moms and dads. But number one, obey your parents. Amen. That ain't for debate. The wife submits to the husband. So that's kind of like a choice. The children obey. That's no choice. Obey your parents, number one. Number two, and I'm big on this. I'm old-fashioned, Brother Rob. I can't help it. Children ought to respect their parents at all times. This roll in your eyes at mom and daddy when they tell you to do something? Oh, no. I came up in the day when children would cut up in church. Mama would get them by the arm, take them out. And, no, don't take me out. And they'd call daddy and they'd come back in. I listen. We didn't mind applying a little persuasion. But I want to say this. Your role, Brother Robert, y'all are good folks, and I know you are. But whether your wife carries out her role isn't your problem. Your job, and the children's job, whoever it is, your job is to carry out your role. My job is to be a spiritual leader of my home, provide for my home. If my children don't take care of their role, I have responsibility to them. But my number one job, if I just do my role, then God will bring everything. Ladies, y'all remember the Bible said the way to win your unsaved husband is by how you conduct yourself? Remember that over here? The way to reach your family is for you to set the example. And if you come home, I know how us men do. Can we come home, we've worked, and if the wife come home, the house ain't clean. Especially if you want, I want to know what you've been doing all day. Why ain't this house clean? That's the wrong thing to do. Number one, she's probably got two children about to go over crazy. What you do is come in, honey, can I help you? You must have had a busy day. Why don't you sit down and let me get supper? There ain't nothing wrong with that. It's called love. If you're not willing to do, I know I pastored a church, pastored in 2013-17. If the toilet needs cleaning, I cleaned them. If something needs to be done, fellas, carry out your role in a humble spirit. Be good to your family. Praise God. That's the grace. If our families get right in the church, you know families get right in the church, churches you break out in revival. Boys and girls get dry. Hallelujah. We wonderful. Men, make it up their mind, by the grace of God, I'm going to be as much a spiritual leader in my home as my pastor is in our church. And the wife, I'm going to look well to the ways of my household and nurture them and help them. Boy, it would just make a difference. Well, secondly, the wall of the family, you got to recognize first, marriage is a divine institution. Secondly, morality is a divine requirement. Verse number 9, and the reason I read down to verse number 9, mentions two sins, fornication and adultery, and they are mortal enemies of the family. Did you know we wouldn't really have such a problem with abortion if it wasn't for unbiblical morality? I know I'm lacerating. I really do believe women have rights. But I think one of those rights is to be sure, number one, you obey the laws of God. And you won't have a problem. But number two, we don't have to have unwanted children, what I'm trying to say. And if we follow the laws of God, we don't have to worry about that. In fact, if you're married, the child comes along, well, you planned him or not, you figured God did. Amen? And so God has, morality is just, in fact, the lack of morality has done more to destroy and damage the family than anything in the world. So important is, let me just say this, for a young person or an adult to have an intimate relationship with anyone outside of marriage is a wicked, wicked, wicked sin. It's not all right. In fact, so much so that God said marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let us rise up and build our families according to the Bible, for the wall of the family is broken down and our nation is in great reproach. When our nation decided that no longer the traditional biblical definition of marriage, and they expanded to come same-sex marriage, which biologically isn't a very good idea. Amen. Two men cannot get married and have a child. By the way, I'm going to say this. This is probably not good politics. No man is going to ever be a wife. Amen. No wife is going to be a husband. Man and women that have natural children, it is the plan of God. And bring them up in the nurture and adoration of the Lord. Well, let me give you one more right quick. I see you got a clock there. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Preachers can get carried away. We can get in that zone. Oh, it's 3:00? So we try to be aware. Let me give you a third. We're talking about three walls that we desperately need to rebuild. Number one, the wall of Christianity or the Christian faith. Seeing people saved, having people saved. Number two, and by the way, until you get there, you're not in a position to be the person God wants you to be or to build walls. You really, Brother Robert, my father-in-law got saved after my wife and I married. He says, I never really knew I really loved my wife until I got saved. You can't even love each other like you're supposed to. Well, let me give you the third one. I think the third wall that's desperately need to rebuild is the wall of the church. Found in Matthew. Just turn back with me if you're still there. Matthew chapter 16. I want to look at just a couple of verses, 16 and 18. Bible said to Simon Peter, answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What an important wall of which Jesus spoke, the wall of the church. And I'm going to tell you, it's a wall that has made America great. What a great... I love church, don't you? I love my church family. I've come into your church, but still feel a part of you. You're still part of my Christian family. And thank God for the church and what it has done and what has meant to this nation. My ministry... God called me out of the pastorate with a burden for the local church. I believe that the local church is the hope for America. But it's got to be churches that are right and preaching right and doing right. So there are two things about this wall of the church that maybe I'm going to say something a little different than you heard, but I believe it's something that's going to help us build that wall. Number one, I think the first thing that stands out about this wall is this place we call church. In fact, so important is the place. I'm talking about this place. So important is this place. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is just not a building. It is a special building with a special purpose. Jesus even said, I'm talking about the place now. He comes along there and he finds these money changers and merchandisers in the temple. And he gets a whip and he runs them out of the temple. And he said, my Father's house, I'm talking about the place, is to be a house of prayer, and you made it a house of merchandise. Special place. The house of God. Amen? A house of worship. What do we come? We come here to worship. And it's special. The Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Fail not to assemble thyself together as the manner of some." We are, I understand, we are, you are, the church. But there's a place that we, the church, assemble, and we actually call that going down to the what? Going down to the church. And it's the place where we are commanded of the Lord to assemble ourselves. I believe that one of the great problems we face in America is our houses of worship, many of them almost empty, but our community is filled with men, women, boys, and girls who are unchurched and many that are unsaved. And so this is as a special place where there are some things that we can do to build our church. How many of y'all love Gilead Baptist Church? I think all of you do. Love your pastor? By the way, I'm going to say this. I had the opportunity, Brother Robert, to go back and pastor for 4.5 years. It's a challenge. Your pastor is on call and plugged in 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I know when I pastored, I slept about 4 hours a night. I worked about 80 hours a week. Your pastor is a very studious pastor. It takes him about 30 hours to prepare messages or longer. Then he has other duties that he does, visitation and other things that he does. And the man of God is, he could use all the help he could get, is what I'm saying. He does his part, but you got to do your part. And I'm gonna tell you three things you can do that'll be the greatest blessing in the world to your church. Amen. I want to see your church filled and packed out, don't you? I want to see a bunch of young families come in here. Anyway, them boys and girls and them teenagers. And I believe we can see it. I really believe this church can be packed out. Give me three things right quick. One, I believe you're going to have to build it through faithful attendance. Now, this is old-fashioned, I know. Now, I understand we're in a pandemic, so I'm not talking about people. I'm talking people that are unable to be here because if they got exposed to the virus, they'd die. You understand? So, if you're physically not able to be here, I'm not saying that. So, we're on live stream. Not talking about that. But I'm talking about those of us that are physically able to be here. Now, if you're comfortable wearing a mask, I like to wear a mask. I'm old. And, I've had my shots, I wear my mask, but I just got off a plane with 200 people. And it might be good if I wear my mask around you for a week or two. Anyway, amen. So, since I've been a little more exposed than some of you have. But I think what we need to do is this. And this is what I'm saying. I know it's old fashioned. I think all the members, and I understand we've got some that cannot come because of things going on. But all the members that physically able ought to attend all the services all the time. We don't need the Sunday, Monday morning crowd dropping off to the Sunday evening crowd, which is about half, and getting down to the Wednesday, which is about 25% of the Sunday morning crowd. Do you know what it'd do to the pastor if all the members of this church would come every service? Oh, if you want to bless Brother Holmes, do that. And you want to please the Lord. So I believe that we build our church through faithful attendance. There's another important part. We also, in order to build the wall of the church, we've got to do it through financial giving. Every member ought to tithe and give their offering. Somebody's saying, well, Brother Melton, I got this extra $200. Do you think I should tithe of that? I do. I'm going to say you this. God has been so good to me financially. It isn't I had great jobs and made lots of money. I've been in the ministry. I think when I started off at Calvary, I made $275 a week and had three children and my wife and I, and was able to send our kids to Christian school. Because God one day prayed, God bless his name. Had a preacher come, such a fellowship. Just what we said, I said, Brother Milton, if you want to send your children out to school, they'd come free. They went out there. $30,000-$40,000 tuition God provided for us. We was going to be gone a couple of weeks. Our children graciously allowed us, and my wife, really, it's a big thing for her, allowed us to go to Hawaii for our 50th anniversary. They paid for everything. Only problem is she and I both work, and if you think you live on Social Security, you better have a different plan. And so we both work. The Lord's given us good health. I can work in accounting because my skills allow me to... I got hired at 70 years old. How about that? Because the Lord gave me some skills. And but when we was gone, we don't get paid. Right before we left, out of nowhere, came enough money to pay my salary. In fact, I called the people that sent the money. Are you sure that I need that check's for me? Oh yeah, this is about the... I mean, paid my entire salary. The Lord did. If you will tithe and you'll give offerings, I promise you before the God of heaven and based on the Word of God, He'll send you in more money than you'll ever think about giving. It's a joy to give to the Lord. Support your church with your tithes and offerings. Amen? Teach your boys and girls to do so. Third thing that you do to build the walls of the church, and I'm not going to preach much longer, but I want to give you this. You're going to have frequent visitation. Now, I understand the period we're going through. If you go to somebody's door, knock on the door now, they about pass out because they're scared of COVID. And people are dying all around us. So we do need to take it serious. But, and used to, a personal visit would probably what you do. How many of y'all know how to text? I'm telling you right now, if I got your phone number and maybe about a week or two, I text you and said, "Hey, I just want to see how you're doing. Everything going good?" Been praying for you. You'd appreciate that. Now we can visit by text. I've even had the privilege of leading a man to the Lord FaceTime. I mean, we've got all these advantages. But I'm going to say this. That's the one area we have failed miserably in. And sir, your friends and your family that God put in your reach are going to die and go to hell unless you do something. I probably couldn't reach me. But tell you, first thing you got to do is reach them. Let them know you care. Check on them. And eventually, and you say, "Well, look, like for you to come to church. And we got a special service. We've got right." And they'll come, or either yourself will take the Bible and show them how to be saved. But just let them follow. But we, Brother Rob, we got to get back to that. We've got to get back to frequent visitation. We have got to reach out to these communities and win and witness these people and bring them back to this church that the house of God may be filled. I remember at Clark Chapel Baptist Church years ago, we run about 60, had a man called Roy Smitten come out of Alabama. And preach good preachers come out of Alabama. Amen. He came in, and every Sunday, Brother Robert, for years, people walked this aisle, had just accepted Christ as their Savior. We went from 60 to 300 members. And I believe this church can be filled. If we will visit and pray before you go. And look, they don't care how much you know, that they care, know how much you care. What I'm trying to say is establish a relationship with them. And then they'll listen to you when you witness. No telling how many God could lead. Well, let me give you the last thing. Not only the place we call church, we need the support and faithful attendance and frequent visitation and finance again to our local church. Amen. By the way, I'll say this. Your tithes go where? Your local church. Amen. And the second thing, not only is this place we call church, but a period we call the Lord's Day. While we do not observe the Jewish Sabbath, we have historically, and by the way, like some of y'all, I got a lot of history behind me and my age. Historically, we have observed what we call, back in my day, the Christian Sabbath, which is Sunday, the Lord's Day. We treated it just like the Jews would treat it. And let me tell you, around my house, you didn't work on Sunday. Oh, no. I mean, my mama say if the ox is in a ditch. And by the way, I'm going, We didn't have organized sports on Sunday either. Half your members can't come because Johnny's playing ball. Susie's in whatever. In fact, I like our country because of what we did. You know, we had what's called blue laws. Anybody remember blue laws? Y'all know what I'm talking about? In fact, the last one was, and I forget what state it was. I think it was North or South Dakota. They just overturned it. But the blue law says if you open your business on Sunday, you can be put in jail or fined. What we did, we protected the Lord's Day. And we set it aside as a day of worship. And I'm just going to tell you, I know it's old-fashioned, but I would make Sunday the Lord's Day, and that's what that day would be for. Do you realize what we've done to enhance ourselves commercially could really fix it where people could not even go to church on Sunday? I'm glad we got Sunday to go down to the house of God. Amen. And every one of you, I'm picking this young man a lot. Sir, you're young and look strong, but you need to get a Sunday afternoon nap so you won't come apart. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all say amen there because you're going to go home and take one after the evening service. We need to observe the Lord's Day and make it a special day unto the Lord. Don't let anything interfere with this thing we call the Lord's Day. Brother Chris, you get ready just a moment. Come. Our nation is really in a mess. If you think about the condition we're in, you should almost do like Nehemiah. It ought to cause you to sit down and weep and pray and fast and mourn. The walls that have made America great are broken down. And I want to challenge you personally. Remember what I said? Easy to listen to preaching, like preaching, but it's easy not to respond. Can I make a confession? Sometimes as I preach, I feel like a Christian entertainer. Because people like to hear preaching, but people don't respond. I don't want to be an entertainer. I want to make a difference in your life. I want you to say, what is it the Lord had for me in that message? What do I need to do? Where am I at? Sir, where are you at as spiritual leader in your home? Ma'am, where are you at as far as your role in your home? Why, I have you to know I'm CEO of a large corporation. Well, that ain't what I asked. How's your home? I wonder, ma'am, and I'm going to get in trouble, if I was to come to your house this evening, they said, if he said, I'm inviting brother, I'm just picking on you, okay? I know it'd be immaculate. I know it would be. But if he said, hey, I've invited Brother Melton to come eat with us, I wonder if you'd run out there, grab the course, and rob your Brother Melton, I got to go home and clean the house. Don't let your home be chaos. Look well to the ways of your home. Amen? Children, obey your parents. Faithfully support your church with your attendance, with your tithes. And by the grace of God, please, ask God to help you witness to someone every week. I promise you, if this crowd would witness to people, this church will fill up. God is still in the saving business. Bring them in here, let the preacher preach to them, they get saved. So I don't know how to leave. Well, bring them in here. In fact, I didn't bring my book, Chris, this morning because I just got the book. I would not bring it until your pastor approved it. You understand? I wouldn't just bring a book in here I wrote the pastor nothing about. No. But I will say this. If the pastor's okay with the pastor, you say, Brother Melvin, I'd like a book teaching me how to go soul winning. I've got one. I make them available on a love offering. You don't have any money. You don't have to send any money. It's called ministry. It's what I do. Get about the business of doing those things for the Lord. And listen, be faithful to the house of God. Bring up your family, but most of all, and here's what we come to. Chris, come on, we have an invitation. Number one, where do we start? Number one, be sure you have a conversion from above. Because if you don't, and life is over. Brother Holmes, Brother Melton, no one else can help you. You slip off in eternity without being born again, you're going to hell. I have you to know, and I don't know who the deacons are, so I'm not picking on you. I'm a deacon of the church. That ain't what I said. Have you been born again? Number one, make sure you've been born again. Number two, folks, if we got a president, 78, then I reckon there's still some things we old folks can do. Amen? One thing we can do, sir, we lived a long time. We can impart some wisdom to you to help you not to make the mistakes we've made. And most of us can still work pretty good. We just have to stop and rest. Amen? I got a feeling on work day, there going to be a few folks over 50 show up. Amen? Because you're faithful. But let's rise up and build. May God use you. As we're saying, whatever you need to do, if you need to come be saved, I invite you to come. I'll be glad to take time to show you from the Bible. Some of these other men and women could. If you say, preacher, my real need is, I really have allowed myself to become so involved with other things, I've not been committed. Great day. Commit your life to the Lord. I promise you, He can take ordinary men like Nehemiah and use men and women and use you in an extraordinary way if you commit yourself unto the Lord as we sang this song.